WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More infrastructure funding from the bipartisan law passed last year. President Biden in New York City announcing money to repair the Hudson River tunnels, linking New York City with New Jersey, along with funds to upgrade Amtrak rails.
That's this project and others like it across the country are all about, making investments in America's cities and towns, in America's heartlands, in the rural areas as well. It's about making things here in America again.
President says the tunnel project will create 72,000 jobs. Winter storms are creating new troubles for residents from Texas to the Midwest. Ice and snow are leading to power outages and flight cancellations and delays. More than 1,400 flights have been grounded today. Embattled Congressman George Santos is recusing himself from two of his committee posts. He's facing several probes, including an investigation into his campaign finances. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy called it the appropriate thing to do. This is ABC News. A new large-scale study looking at the risk of dementia for those over 60 shows many diet and lifestyle decisions could impact someone's chances of developing memory loss or Alzheimer's disease. ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton tells us what lifestyle choices made the biggest impact on participants.
Alcohol was a big one, and the people who did the best in this study never consumed alcohol. Diet was actually the biggest factor, and again, healthy diet, lots of vegetables, and low saturated fat. Cognitive activity, which would be something like reading or playing cards, and then social contact, even chatting online, meeting with friends. People who engaged in those behaviors did really, really well as we age.
San Francisco officials are asking state authorities to slow down the rollout of driverless taxis. During tests in the city, some users reported robo-taxis stopping for no apparent reason. Results of the test could determine how quickly other cities move ahead with driverless cabs. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
for dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Look closely.
That's all it says.
That's all it says. Number 25, a simple way to slightly improve your life. Look closely. What do you think that means?
I think whoever was assigned that did not finish that assignment.
Look closely feels a little too vague to really implement into your daily routine.
What? Nigel, are you the one who put look closely on the list?
What does that
mean? What does it mean?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the noon hour, our second hour of our Tuesday show. We are trying to see if we are our guest. We can hear our guest now that we're back. Mr. Jerry Duchesne, can you hear me? You can hear me, but I, for some reason, cannot hear you. So we're going to actually ask you to call in on your cell phone to 844-967-2789. And I am going to set up the conversation as you are going to call, and Jane is going to pick up the phone. But I read this recently in Wisconsin Public Radio, printed, Urban No More. Census reclassifies dozens of Wisconsin places as rural. And so basically over 40 different places in Wisconsin now have their definition going from being considered urban to being considered rural. And we wanted to invite Jerry Duchesne, who is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, to come on because I just was interested as far as what the implications of this are going to be. And because I think when it comes to funding and understanding more as far as what does it actually mean to be considered urban or rural? Is it just our interpretation of that, or does it actually come down to different funding that happens? And so it's 844-967-2789. And so we're just going to buy a little bit of time because technology is always fun. And so we are, I think we are have Mr. Duchesne on the line. All right. We got it. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm here. I'm alive.
Well, I saw that you were alive because I could see that you're in the stream. I just couldn't hear you. And so we are going to have to figure that out after the show, but that's okay. We will figure it out. How are you doing today?
Other than kind of running around like a crazy person saying, okay, try this headset, try these earbuds. And then you rattle off that phone number and it's like, wait a minute. 62-year-old man, I can do 6 digits. I cannot do 10 digits in one saying.
I totally feel you. But thank you so much for being patient with us. Thank you for so much for joining us today. So as I said, we are now in a place where 42 different places in Wisconsin have been reclassified. And this is, from what I understood from the article, it's not because necessarily from the census. Is it because there was a population decline or because they changed the definition?
Well, what they did is they went to these little towns like Winneconne, and they jacked up all the houses, and they moved them across the road and dropped them in a cornfield. This was a statistical move only. It affects about 3% of the population of Wisconsin, and it was because the U.S. Census Bureau changed the way it defines what is rural and what is urban.
And so...
Are you still awake, Kristen?
No. You underestimate my desire for all things nerdy when it comes to stuff like this and trying to make it fun. Because I think this is important as we talk about, I mean, one of the big things I care about and I talk about a lot on the show is Wisconsin's population and how most places besides Dane County are pretty flat as far as their growth rate and trying to attract people to move here, trying to keep people to stay here. And so when I saw this story, I was like, oh, this is super interesting to me because, you know, sometimes you need to make, you know, what this means for mayors when it comes, we've talked about a lot about shared revenue. And so what do you feel like? Because I don't know if you, when I read this at the time, you necessarily knew what the implications could be or will be, but what do you think it could mean for some of these cities that have, or villages, towns that have changed what they're classified as?
Okay, so, and I have to admit right up on the front end, the answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody really does. When the Census Bureau did this, and this is something they've been pushing to do for decades, they've thought their old population threshold was 2,500. If your population was below that, you were rural. If your population was above that, you were urban. And, okay, if I live in Winneconne or Pulaski, do I care? Probably not, but here's what we're worried about. If most economic development organizations kind of fear the flyover effect, and what they're worried about is, does changing designation of, you know, Algoma from an urban community to a rural community, does that make it drop off the list when it comes to economic development? We know that national economic development firms tend to look first at only urban areas. So does that make it a little harder for our middle-sized cities and villages? I don't know.
Yeah.
Algoma's got a lot going for it, right? Competition for grants is another area where, frankly, what this move did was really made it more competitive for all of the other small cities and villages in Wisconsin to compete for grants. Because now all of a sudden they've got about 45 more competitors who are, frankly, bigger than they are. Again, will it have an effect? The honest truth is nobody knows, but the worry is maybe.
And so in the meantime, I mean, what is the best things for different, you know, smaller to mid-size? Like we live in Milwaukee, so obviously there's a different set of problems there. But for my parents live in Wisconsin Rapids, which I think is above the threshold, but still a small declining town. Our stations are in towns all over Wisconsin. So as far as for different places that at one point were really thriving and had a lot of jobs and a lot of community culture, but just because of the way that consolidation and globalization and so much of like what trying to help smaller towns thrive, your job is so much is to help them connect them with each other, but like what are some of the things that are helping them thrive at the level and population that they have?
Like you mentioned, connections. Tomahawk is on the list. They went from urban to rural. Well, Harley Davidson makes motorcycle bodies in Tomahawk. There's a connection there. Reinforce that connection. There are housing shortages and workforce shortages all over the state. So if I'm, let's say, Fink and Terry, the big shipyard up in Marinette, they need every one of those little rural villages that surround Marinette, they need them to supply workforce. So a lot of it is stay networked, stay plugged in on a regional basis. Wisconsin's economy has always been regional. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at commuter maps, people move back and forth all the time in Wisconsin anyway. And frankly, a lot of us, we like the fact that we're kind of, we're Milwaukee and we're Madison and we're Green Bay, but we're also, we're also Peshtigo, we're Crivitz, we're Antigo. I think we need to embrace that and stay plugged into one another.
I love that answer because I feel like that's also, at least with Civic Media, like the bucket list and the road trips that Jane and I have planned to go all across the state. Because even I was from Madison, I now live in Milwaukee. My parents are in central Wisconsin. But there's so many parts of Wisconsin I haven't even gotten to know yet. And the different cute towns and small villages and stuff that make the state awesome. And trying to, I mean, a common thread of this show is rising tides lifts all boats. And so the ability to make those connections. And, you know, I'm friends with Zach Verwick, who just joined your team, right?
You were friends with Zach Berwing?
I am.
Oh, boy.
He was on the show back in August, I think he came on the show.
He didn't tell me. See, he never tells me anything. Zach is the chief operating officer of the league. For those who don't know, former mayor of Wisconsin Rapids. And, you know, he's better looking than I am. He's smarter than I am. He's younger than I am. All of which adds up to, I don't know why we hired the guy. I really don't. But did you know he owned a computer consulting company when he was 15?
I did know that.
His mother, true story, his mother would take him to appointments, which I think she still does. I should ask him. But,
no. But I guess, so that's probably a good segue as far as what he does there, what you guys do. But for people who are unfamiliar with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, what is kind of the core of the work that you do as far as providing the connections we were just talking about?
Yeah, I would say our work boils down to three different parts, and we're 125 years old. Yeah, no matter what Kristen may have told you on the phone, I was not here when we were first created. So we do three things. First and foremost, we get local leaders together, because you talked about it, Kristen. That networking is critical. Wisconsin is a very dispersed state. We live all over the place. There's 605 cities and villages. We get them all together. We do an awful lot of educating. We have a website that's got over 1,000 pages of beekeeping ordinances and urban chicken ordinances and alcohol licensing manuals. And then the last thing that we do, we're located in Madison. So obviously we work with the governor and the legislature on funding issues and road aids and all of the things that affect local governments.
Which I think most people don't even know that you guys necessarily exist and how much of a resource you are for what right now is a lot of places are struggling. And I don't know how much you want to touch on the shared revenue and how much you're hoping that that 20% sales tax is something that can come in and help. But I would imagine that coming out of, you know, a potential in this year's budget, it would be a huge help to so many of the different mayors and city councils that you work with.
Yeah, we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. I mean, heaven knows we've got this fascinating U.S. Census Bureau statistical change that we need to delve into. But no, seriously, I think legislative leaders of both parties and the governor, I think everyone understands now that the system's broken. How we fund local government in Wisconsin just doesn't work for the long term. We're very optimistic. We know the Speaker of the Assembly is working hard on fixing this. The majority leader over in the Senate, they've got the backing of the governor. Now it's a matter of putting all the details together. And we're sitting on the sidelines going, go, go, go. And so far, so good.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a break really quickly. Our guest this half hour is Jerry DeShane, who is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 4 above. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 21 tomorrow. Mainly cloudy skies. Lows around 13 tomorrow night. Partly cloudy skies. Low 20s Thursday with a chance for snow. Turning much cooler Friday with highs in the single digits above zero. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 2 above.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I got Jane Matinere on the board. Our guest this half hour is Jerry DeShane, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin, the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. And we're talking about the riveting information, which I find riveting, which is the reclassification of 42 different places in Wisconsin going from urban to rural and what that could mean. And so kind of just as a refresh. And so what's the best case scenario versus the worst case scenario for these different places?
Yeah, best case scenario, and you can hear me, by the way, right? My computer's giving me a dirty look. Best case scenario is nobody cares. 5 years from now, it doesn't make any difference to hospital reimbursement. It doesn't make any difference in federal grant competition. It doesn't make any difference in competition for economic development opportunities. So that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is they get hit in all of those. And unfortunately, we're just not really going to be able even know for sure if this is the cause of it.
All right. And so do you feel like this is how high alert should people be on this? Is this something to be worried about, or is it something that you think we'll wait and see?
At this point, it's too late to be worried about it. It's a done deal. It's a fact. It's kind of baked into everything now. Where we are going to be watching it at the league is when we see grant competitions coming through, where there's a split between rural category and urban category. I think our smaller communities are just going to have to step it up a little bit because there's going to be a few more people competing. The large communities have frankly never really had a problem competing for grants. Where you just can't tell is economic development. You know, what makes a company call Algoma or Broadhead or Cambridge, or what makes them not call? That's impossible to know. So we talked about this earlier, Kristen. Our small communities have always had to talk a little bit louder in order to be seen and heard. And we've got to do that. I mean, we got to get on these podcasts that are going around the state, you know, and talking up local governments. You know, whenever you see them coming through town, shoot out their tires, make her stop, that kind of thing. So,
well, that's actually a good plug. Who should we get on the show? We've had Dan Devine was on last week, so we talked to Dan. But who else? Who else would you recommend? As far as we had Mayor Katie Rosenberg on, but
oh wow,
yeah,
those are the cool ones. you need to have Mary. You need to have. Well, I mean, come on, Dan Devine is like the mixture between Ted Nugent and Julia Child, right? He's the only mayor that got elected to office saying "feed me." I love that guy. Mary Motive up in Bayfield. You want Mary? No, not Bayfield, Washburn. You want Mary Motive on?
Okay.
That's one of the smallest cities in Wisconsin, and she is just really, really cool. There's so many cool places in Wisconsin. Get over to Stockholm, Wisconsin. That's on the river. It's the Mississippi River. And it's this funky little enclave of retired University of Minnesota professors. So it's a population of about 70 people, and I think they're lying about that. I think it's actually less. But
so definitely rural. They're not. They definitely didn't. They weren't on that list of 42 that got reclassified. Oh. They've been classified.
They're never going to get on the urban list. Well, and that's the other thing, Kristen. A lot of these communities, they couldn't care less what you call them. Yeah. I mean, whether they're rural, whether they're urban, the median-sized city and village in Wisconsin has a population of 1,500. They're
wow.
all rural to some extent. But get out to the small ones. That's
yeah.
my advice to you. Don't, you know, don't stop. Mayor Rosenberg, she's, you know, she's Jeannie Cosmopolitan. You know, that's a big city by our standards. You got to get outside. You got to get to Marathon City,
okay.
which is a village, which is really confusing. But it's in her neck of the woods.
Do you have a call? Not that you are endorsing anyone, but as far as obviously our spring elections are here. We have a primary in 3 weeks, and April 4th is the general. And this is when our municipalities and local government is elected. So do you have, without endorsing anyone, a call to action for the importance of being aware of who's in your local government and the role that they play, and a plea to have people to remember to vote both in the primary and on April 4th?
Boy, let's see. At least two or three of my board members are up for re-election this spring. So I sort of stay away from that. But what the league does, we actually have two pamphlets that we put out there. One is for people that are thinking of running for local office. And I think the headline is something like, so you want to be a local official. And then the other brochure that we put out for those people who have won, I wanted to call it, oh, my God, I won. Now what do I do? But it's, first of all, we've got to have people serving at the local level, and there aren't enough. It's one of these things where everybody should take their turn.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we definitely put the word out. And frankly, if you're on a local village board or city council or you're thinking about it, give us a call. I'll send you one of the pamphlets for free. And it kind of helps give a flavor for your job, which is, it's just good homegrown work.
Send me one of those. I don't know if I'll run anytime soon. I'm a little busy, but I will definitely, I think having that information and knowing what it is would be good. So I would love to have one. I'll follow up with the address.
Okay, do you want me to send you Milwaukee nomination papers, too?
No,
I can do that.
I definitely don't want to do it. I've done that. My my husband ran for mayor last year, and I had to help get signatures for that. And so
done.
I think I'm good. I'm going to think about sticking with the radio thing and making jokes on air. But Jerry DeShane, thank you so much for spending time with us today. You were so fun. As more information comes out as far as this story specifically or other stories, you are always welcome back.
Well, and Kristen, thanks for having me. I enjoyed the conversation, too. And if you get lost out there, let me know. Give me a call. I'll let you know where you are.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jason Joyce will be here.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More infrastructure funding from the bipartisan law passed last year. President Biden in New York City announcing money to repair the Hudson River tunnels, linking New York City with New Jersey, along with funds to upgrade Amtrak rails.
That's this project and others like it across the country are all about, making investments in America's cities and towns, in America's heartlands, in the rural areas as well. It's about making things here in America again.
President says the tunnel project will create 72,000 jobs. Winter storms are creating new troubles for residents from Texas to the Midwest. Ice and snow are leading to power outages and flight cancellations and delays. More than 1,400 flights have been grounded today. Embattled Congressman George Santos is recusing himself from two of his committee posts. He's facing several probes, including an investigation into his campaign finances. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy called it the appropriate thing to do. This is ABC News.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has three openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5, at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720. Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair on the board. Thank you for joining us during your lunch hour on this very frigid January 31st as we say goodbye to the first month of the year. And I am very excited. I talked about this a little bit to end the show yesterday, but our next guest gave me one of my best compliments still to this day. Back in April 2020, when I had just made April 1st, 2020, so was it April Fool's Day, and I had put out another video trying to show people how they can be a witness when people are trying to isolate, because it was the very beginning of COVID, and my grandmother was in it, my mother was in it, my mom made some joke about touching her face, she was classic Debbie, and Jason Joyce, publisher of The Isthmus, retweeted the video and said, one, these are great. Two, the Bry women are doing more for democracy here than many, many of our elected officials. And it was truly one of the nicest things I think anyone had said to me. So Jason Joyce, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Yeah, that's, wow, that was a while ago, huh? 2020.
Well, that's, you probably forgot that you wrote that, but I remember because I was like, I was just blanketly, blindly putting these videos out into the world. And I, you know, I was like, I don't know who's gonna, I was like DMing people being like, will you please retweet this? and you did. And so here we are. And so now we're gonna have a conversation about media and nonprofit media and Madison and the news and democracy. And so let's just start with, you are the publisher of The Isthmus, which is 47 years old?
Correct. 1976, April 1976. So,
and it's gone through some changes, because I grew up in Madison, always seeing the actual physical square Isthmus where you could pick it up. But now, and that was, you know, at some point it was, it's always been independent. It's always been alternative, but now it's a nonprofit, right?
Correct. So yeah, I mean, nonprofit media, you know, to take a step back, nonprofit news, you know, text newspapers, maybe not so many that are printed, but nonprofit news has been with us for a while now. And it, you know, people started really exploring it once the traditional business model for news kind of really started collapsing. I mean, and that goes back 20 plus years at this point. Isthmus paid a lot of its bills for many years. My former boss, the founder of Isthmus, Vincent O'Hearn, is, you know, wintering in Palm Springs right now, largely because people in Madison needed to sell their bikes and cars and sublet apartments. You know, took out classified advertising for many years, along with a lot of other businesses and restaurants that advertised. But classifieds really made money for newspapers for decades and decades. Alternative papers like Isthmus also ran personal ads, which were a particular cash cow and brought in a lot of readers, you know, along with a lot of money. Yeah, that model, you know, started falling apart when Craigslist came along. Facebook and Google, you know, dealt it a further blow, you know, moving into the 20 teens. And it just became less and less viable. And COVID was the knockout punch, really. The business more or less collapsed within, in Madison, really, within like a week. You know, everybody that we rely on for advertising dollars who is in the arts world and entertainment world suddenly had nothing to advertise and no money to advertise. So so Isthmus essentially went out of business, and rebooting it as a nonprofit just seemed like the most sensible thing to do.
And so, and you were, when it first was, I guess, kind of what started to look like it was going to go out of business, you were at the Cap Times, and then you made the decision to come be the publisher of Isthmus. So talk me through more of like, what, why take this on?
Well, I love Isthmus. I was an intern at Isthmus in 1993. I went to work at Isthmus in 1998 as the digital media director, which is a job I had for 15 years before I went to the Cap Times. Alternative journalism, I fell in love with it in high school, learned that you could actually like get a job there and do that as a living in college. And, you know, it's really all I ever, the only kind of journalism I really ever wanted to do. It's been in my blood. I met my wife working at Isthmus. Like, it's really like a big part of my family.
Got it.
So when, you know, I had been talking to the former for-profit owners about coming back, they wanted to bring in more people with more journalism experience to help out on the business side. And, you know, that obviously sort of fell apart, but talked to Judy Davidoff, who's the editor and president of our organization, and Dylan Brogan, who used to, you know, who worked with us just up until a couple months ago, about what they were doing, and just kind of stayed in touch with them and more or less said, I want to be involved. Like, I want in on this. This sounds like so much fun. And, you know, we need to do this. You know, in many ways, when you strip a business down to zero, it's funny, you know, people talk about zero-based budgeting, like, oh, we should really do zero-based budgeting. Governments talk about this and businesses do. Well, we, in fact, actually did it. We were forced to do it. Like, let's build this company back up from ground zero, take away a lot of the expenses that we had, you know, felt like we had to have an office in downtown, people to work at reception, things like that. And, you know, built this newspaper back up just from the essence. And, you know, that's hard work, but it's really, really fun. And it's like, you know, it just takes me back to when I worked at the Badger Herald in college. I'm like, boy, you have to build up a staff every semester. And that.
We're talking to Jason Joyce, who's the publisher of Isthmus, about journalism and independent journalism and the Isthmus and being a nonprofit business model. And so Where do you feel like, because in our correspondence of getting you on the show, you're in touch with other independent nonprofit media outlets that are chose to go this route versus a for-profit route, which, you know, is either going to be a membership or sell advertising. And so what have you seen as far as, because obviously a couple years later, Isthmus is still thriving. It's around. There's a new issue that we're going to talk about before the end of the half hour as far as what stories are coming up for the February issue. But where do you feel like is the right fit for an outlet to be nonprofit versus where does it make sense? Like it might not be the right fit and to stay either with like a membership or sponsorship or advertising model.
The number one thing for us, and this is true, I think we've seen in other markets. I mean, there's the sort of the nonprofit traditional, if you can use that term, model is really small, really narrow focused, outlets, people that write just about development or maybe just about politics or just about local politics. There are organizations called Institute for Nonprofit News and Lion that serve those groups. We're a little different because we're still general interest. So if you're going to be general interest, you're going to be about a place, you know, hyper local is a term that gets thrown around a lot. You better have a really good relationship with your readers. Well, Isthmus has built this relationship with our readers for 47 years. We hear all the time from people, I've been reading you since the first one. I've been picking up Isthmus since 1976. I met my wife in the personals. I got jobs out of the classifieds, whatever. We really hear from all those folks. And so that relationship is key because we went to something they picked up free, and many of them have picked up a free Isthmus every week for years and years and years. And, you know, that it's always been a theory in business, like, boy, you can't give something away for free and then ask somebody to pay for it. We went to all those folks and said, please support our journalism by becoming a member, by paying $10 a month, $120 a year or more to support what we're doing. And so that trust is huge. Like people knowing what we are and what we represent and that we're going to continue to be that for them if they support us. The other interesting thing is, you know, in many ways it's a lot like public broadcasting, and, you know, public broadcasting has their way of pitching, you know, for membership. Ours is a little different. We've never given away any sort of premiums and said, you know, you pledge at this level, you get a tote bag, et cetera. We've really just said, the benefit of contributing to us is that you keep us around and that you keep another, you know, newsroom paying attention to what's going on in the city, whether that's local government, arts groups, you know, the food and restaurant scene, whatever. So it was a gamble in many ways to say, hey, will you support us? And people have. It's just overwhelmingly cool and you know, gratifying, sometimes emotional, to get checks from folks which arrive in our post office box every week in addition to the online membership program that we have.
And it is, I mean, and because Isthmus is an institution, and I think there is Madison being from there, Madison likes Madison, right? And there are certain things that people don't want to see go away. But I also think it's interesting as far as for new media, whether it's a Substack or a Patreon or independent journalists who are trying to continue, like there's all this, like kind of this no man's land right now for journalism. And how do we continue to get good fact-based journalism out and have it not be a free endeavor of I'm here is my labor and not have this expectation that, you know, you have to pay for content because there is so much free content out there. So do you feel like there is, without that existing relationship like an Isthmus has, that this is the model of just convincing people that there is value in this and that is worth some of your extra dollars because it keeps you unbiased, it keeps you serving the people who are actually keeping the lights on because they believe in what you're doing? And so, like, do you think this is kind of the future of independent journalism, of people going through this route and just tapping into the people who appreciate the work enough that they're going to keep you in business?
I do. I think that that's, you know, that's critical, that the, you know, like as I've been talking about with classified ads and personals, people have been supporting ISMIS for a long time. People have been supporting our journalism. They just haven't been, it hasn't been, you know, sort of sold to them or explained to them, like, this dollar is going to go to pay this reporter specifically to write these kinds of stories. And that's what we're learning. People really want, you know, to hear that. They want that conversation. And I think what, in many ways, what our model is doing that the traditional advertising supported model didn't do is we're much more in direct contact with our people now than you might be at a corporate daily. You know, yeah, you might, you'll get the occasional voicemail that you don't really want to listen to, or you'll get, you know, a letter to the editor will find its way to your desk. But, you know, we're in touch with our people constantly. And, you know, the best organizations we're trying to do this, we want to know what they want, what works for them, what resonates with them. You know, we have a few email newsletters, which is still, I think, an emerging form in our world. It's a more intimate relationship that you have when you're, you know, communicating with someone in their inbox, and people reply to those. It's amazing. It seems like it's maybe one-way communication, but when you have an email that winds up in someone's inbox and your name and email are on it, they give you feedback right away. And so that, you know, that's real work, but it's not that much different from, you know, traditional journalism. It's funny. I just read an article the other day about how to build trust in order to do man on the street interviews. Because a lot of people don't trust the media, you know, and especially in underserved communities, they haven't been around reporters very much. So, you know, having these conversations and trying not to be extractive, try to be participatory and, really work extra hard to establish that trust is what good journalists have always done. And so just paying attention to that part of our profession is big.
Absolutely. It's so funny because when I hear man on the street interviews, I immediately think of like Billy Eichner, like yelling at people. Yeah. Definitely not Billy building trust with anyone. Right. And like comedians right. trying to get a funny take they could put on the TikTok. But that's super interesting, especially what you say as far as trying to have journalism that reaches underserved communities that aren't necessarily feeling like they are represented in the news or that the stories are well told. And so continuing reaching out, whether that's Milwaukee or Madison and places that aren't always the subscribers. And so when we come back with Jason Joyce, we're going to switch gears a little bit and hear a little what some of the stories that are coming out in this month's issue, or I guess next month's issue, since tomorrow is February. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Shout it, read all about it, get your paper.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has 3 openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us. Maintenance experience? Take it to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo invites you to its job fair Wednesday, February 1st, 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Information at PepsiCoJobs.com.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 2 above. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 21. Partly cloudy again. Tomorrow night, 13. High of 21 Thursday with a chance for snow 21 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, two above.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Jason Joyce, who is the publisher of the Isthmus and longtime 30 plus years of reporting in Madison.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at the Badger Herald in 19. My first story at the Badger Herald was 1991.
Okay, that is, yeah, that is so.
It's a long, yeah, I won't date it anymore.
No. That's, I mean, that is a long time. Did you grow up in Madison?
No, I grew up in the Twin Cities, but I came here for college like so many of us do.
Yes, exactly. And so I guess, we air in Madison at night. So this isn't live in Madison right now, but we do have the replay on WTTN at night. But, you know, Madison's an important place. It's my home. I'm very split now between I love Milwaukee, but there is something, especially coming in on Washington Ave and like seeing the Capitol emerge. Because I'm always coming from the east side of the state and being like, I'm so happy I'm from here. So with that, as you guys on February 2nd have the February issue coming out of the Isthmus. Right. So I guess what's going on in Madison these days, Jason?
Yeah, only a few things. we're teeing up the primary election really this month. We call it. It's funny, we call it a cover story, even though we don't put stories on the cover anymore. We feature original artwork on the cover, but it's our big story, long read story by Bill Leaders, long time, used to be the news editor at Isthmus for many, many years, and was as a, another Milwaukee Madison guy, one of the founders of The Shepherd many, many years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so he breaks out the Supreme Court election for us in detail and in the way, you know, only Bill Leaders can. In many ways, he represents the ideal Isthmus writer in that he's not afraid to bring a strong voice and his experience to his reporting. So that's our big story, but we also break out. We have a mayor's election coming up as well, and that's part of the. There are three candidates, so that's going to be part of the primary as well, with our incumbent Mayor Saatchi Rhodes Conway running against a pretty strong challenger in Gloria Reyes and a political newcomer, a guy named Scott Kerr, and they just had their first debate last night. So this is rising in people's consciousness now. It's funny. People go from like 0 to 60 on these races, and that's happening right now. So that's on the news side of things. And then, you know, we always have a pretty strong commitment to covering arts. And Gwen Rice, who is our theater critic, but also a very strong and authoritative voice in arts coverage, has split a story up between last month and this month, and that she's talking to arts organizations about their challenges coming out of the pandemic. A lot of people don't realize this, but most, you know, certainly in Madison, most of our arts organizations are also 501c3 mm-hmm. nonprofits. They're really run by like businesses with attention to the bottom line, but coming out of a time when they had to suspend production and couldn't sell tickets and maybe lost, you know, they're in a town like Madison, they're always sort of scrambling to retain talent. What are their big challenges? And this month, she focuses on the music and dance nonprofits. And, you know, I've been amazed. I in this new role that I've had as publisher, I've been able to meet a lot of folks who lead arts organizations, executive directors. There's so much innovation happening in that world. We talk about serving underserved communities. I think a lot of these arts organizations really, prior to George Floyd, but certainly during 2020, really felt that, criticism from communities of color. And they've taken it seriously and invested real time and money into changing their staff, you know, trying new things artistically. So we're in touch with a lot of those folks. That's, I think, pretty interesting when we have these kinds of stories.
It is super interesting. And I know similarly in Milwaukee with UPATH and on the 14 different member organizations they have, and it'd be actually good to get an update because I know since we started this show talking about this was going to be a pivotal year for them, and I'm sure it's a pivotal year for a lot of arts organizations across the state, across the country, as far as money drying up, that kind of shuttered venue and a lot of the grants and stuff that was available, and that is going away. And so really needing people to support and get back and put butts in the seats and go appreciate the arts, because it's very important.
It's critical. It makes our cities really what they are. It's why we want to live in cities. And, you know, you realize these ecosystems don't just run on their own. Requires a lot of support. You know, that's one of the things that we've pitched to some of our members, which is, you know, support for the arts is actually more than just buying a ticket and going to see the shows. It also includes caring enough to cover them and, you know, covering them not just critically saying whether this play is good or not, but like, what's going on? What are they doing differently? What have they done to change their operations? And people are really interested in that stuff. So keeping that conversation vital is a big part of what we do.
And just to close out, because we did talk about it a little bit here, but there was some drama in Madison a couple of weeks ago as far as new zoning. Is there been a decision on that? We haven't spent a lot of time, but I feel like the Madison Twitter that I pay attention to was up in arms. And so there is a decision, right, that there is going to be new zoning laws?
They're revamping zoning along transit lines. We're about to introduce bus rapid transit, which is like a bus version of a train, sort of. And so along those routes, they want to allow neighborhoods they want to allow people to build duplexes in what have traditionally been single family lots. And boy, that's a generational divide. That's a wealth divide. And it really, you know, again, new voices, we're hearing folks who have lived in Madison and have seen their rents, you know, skyrocket are speaking out. You know, they've sort of had enough. So we've been part of that conversation. I've been really proud of what we've been able to do there and thrilled that we're part of it. But yeah, Twitter's a funny place. Housing Twitter and transit Twitter are super active, and the people who are involved in those conversations are new, I think. They don't represent the stereotypes that we're used to seeing, and that's fun.
No, that is super fun. Urbanist Twitter, whatever you want to call it, as far as the people who are very adamant about population density and public transit and all the things that make our cities and put people first instead of cars first. I would never call myself an urbanist, but I find myself agreeing with them more than I disagree. Well, I think we have to let you go. This is so fun, though. We'll have to have you back because I think we just scratched the surface as far as I feel like where journalism is going, how to support local journalists, how to share stories. I say it all the time. I couldn't do my job because I editorialize all the work that you guys do, right? Like, I'm not out there doing firsthand reporting. And so to be able to get on air and talk about things that are happening in Wisconsin every day, I totally rely on local journalists like you, like the Isthmus. So Jason Joyce, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much, Kristen. It was great talking to you.
All right. Well, have a great day. We'll have to have you back soon. And for us, that will do it for the second hour. We'll take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, funny ladies that inspire us. We got some clips, so stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand,
Make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay. AB.